So all I'm here to tell you, young person, older person, who you are just loving sin so much, I'm here to tell you that sin is only for a season. The pleasure is for a very, very short season.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This is the second part of the message begun last week by Pastor Brian Grant and entitled The Case for Christ. In the first part aired last week, Pastor Grant spoke of sticking points, excuses that people use for refusing to believe the gospel and trust Christ. Last week, we heard about the intellectual sticking point, I can't believe. Now, in the second part of that message, Pastor Grant will go into the second and third sticking points in his list as he concludes the first message in his new series, The Case for Christ. Again, we urge you to have your Bibles handy because, as we say here at GCA, God's message always comes from God's Word. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
So this morning, it is my hope and my prayer that if you're one of those who you're saying, oh, I have all these reasons, that this morning you would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Sticking point number two, I won't believe. Sticking point number one, I can't believe. Sticking point number two, I won't. John's Gospel chapter 12, verse number 9. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they may also, what? See Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death. Now, just think of this. Everybody's here because Lazarus has been raised from the dead. But while there, everybody's excited. There's a little bunch of guys saying, we're going to kill him. And guess why? Look at verse 11. Why are they wanting to kill him? Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. We're not going to kill him because we don't believe. We're going to kill him because he's messing up our little game. Listen, what more evidence did these people need? The evidence was there. Lazarus was there. But they decided we're going to put him right back in the grave. He came from the grave. He can go back to the grave. We're going to help him out. We're going to put him right back there. Listen. The evidence was staring them in the face. They didn't want to believe to mess up their life of privilege and power. What is the reason? What is the reason most people won't believe? Do you realize that most people who won't believe, it's because people love their sinful lifestyle. Don't miss that. People love their what? People love sin. I believe I'm talking to somebody here who is in this category. It's not that you can't believe. You really don't have any intellectual issues. You have made up your mind not to believe. And the reason you have made up your mind not to believe is because you love sin. You are afraid that if you get saved, it will mess up your lifestyle. Some people love adultery. Some people love shacking up. Some people love dishonesty, reveling, drugs, some other sinful habit. I don't know what your issue is, but the question is, I just want you to deal with the reality. Is the reason you are not saved today? Is it because you won't believe? Is it because you love sin? Let me give you three things to consider. Number one. The pleasure of sin is what? Temporary. It's death. But the pleasure is not death. The pleasure is temporary. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, Moses decided to go God's way. The Bible tells us that Moses decided to choose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin that are but for a season. I want you to know, Mr., Miss., young person, the pleasure of sin is very, very temporary. You know, sometimes we make a mistake and we say, oh, I have so many years. You know, I've been around a little while. Can I tell you one thing you'll soon discover, younger person? You will soon discover that life is very brief. Sometimes younger people say, I'm going to live for pleasure because I have my whole life in front of you. Your whole life is brief. So all I'm here to tell you, young person, older person, who you are just loving sin so much, I'm here to tell you that sin is only for a season. The pleasure is for a very, very short season. On the other hand, number two, I'm here to tell you that the consequence of sin never ends. John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 19 tells us, and this is the condemnation, light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you're saying God is so mean, why would he send people to hell because we are sinners? After all, we were born sinners. It's not my fault. He made me born a sinner. So what am I to do? That's a really reasonably good argument. Except you missed out one. It's not my fault. And I agree. Do you know that any of you who love sin, it's not your fault? You know, some of us, we get saved, and we saved so long, we forgot how much you loved it too. We were born sinners. So guess what sinners do? Oh my goodness. Sinners sin. And so here's what God is trying to get across to you, my friend. Nobody goes to hell because they sinned. What did the verse say? This is the condemnation. The light has come. Oh, don't miss that part. The light has come. Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the light of the world. The issue is, the light has come. The question is, after God has gone to the extent of sending his son, the light, to lighten your world, are you still going to continue in sin? Hallelujah. Some of us have been lightened and have been brought to know the light. Oh my God, my God, may God help us that know that we are children of light. Oh, come on, help me now. My God, help us to what? Walk in the light. Because sometimes we get saved, but we don't walk in the light. What sort of foolishness is that? You are in the light. The Spirit of God has brought light into your life. But no, you leave the room where there's the light. You go back in the room that is darkness. You can't even see. Oh, where's that? Boom, your toe is hitting. Oh, ooh. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, Christian friend. There are too many Christians who are not enjoying the experience of being a child of God. There's some Christians, their head is always down low. They're never enjoying it. And the reason you will never enjoy the blessing and the benefit of being a Christian as long as you keep walking in darkness. The Bible says, listen, the fellowship, when it says we have fellowship, it's talking about fellowship with Jesus, you know. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. One with the another is not with us. Oh, yes, yeah, we have fellowship with each other too. But you're having fellowship with Jesus, one with the other. I have fellowship with Jesus, my Savior, my Master, my friend. But it happens when we are walking in the light. I need to ask you this morning, believer, are you walking in the light? If you're not, it's time. But if you're here this morning and you're not in the light, you need to recognize, number one, that the pleasure of sin is temporary. You need to realize this consequence of sin never ends. And thirdly, you need to realize the pleasures from God last forever. Some people didn't realize their pleasures with God. Oh my goodness. So sad. When I was a little boy, sometimes some Christians' faces always looked like they had eaten sour lemons. Oh, I'm hoping that's not how we GCA folks look. I hope that when you meet a believer in Jesus Christ from GCA, you can see that her faces are radiant because we're enjoying the joy of the Lord. Amen. We're enjoying the pleasures of God. And Psalm 16 verse 11 tells us, in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm a Christian. But then, sticking point number three, but before I get there, St. Augustine. We know St. Augustine is one of the great fathers of the church. When St. Augustine, his mother was a devoted Christian. But St. Augustine was one of those who, when he was growing up, he decided, I won't believe. St. Augustine was a hedonist. He was a hedonist. You might not know that. He was a hedonist. St. Augustine had decided, listen, in fact, he actually said, I'm a slave to lust. He lived for pleasure. He had one concubine after the other. Lived for pleasure and sexual exploits. He was a party boy. Had babies with this lady. Went on to another one. Oh yes, that's St. Augustine. But one day, he heard a child's voice repeating, take it up and read. Take it up and read. And nearby there was a Bible on the table. And St. Augustine picked up the Bible to read. He opened it and he read the very first thing he came across. And can you imagine the amazing thing about God? Here is this man with a lust problem, a sex problem. He picks up the Bible. He realizes Augustine somehow sensed this was a command from God. Take it up and read. Take it up and read. He opens the Bible, and the first thing he reads is not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual excess and lust. Rather, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. God is saying that to somebody here this morning. God is saying to somebody here this morning, listen, it's time to get rid of the carousing and the drunkenness. It's time to get rid of the sexual excess and lust. And it's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
This hedonist heard, he said it was like light flooding my heart. And St. Augustine repented and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And listen, his life was totally changed. Just imagine. If you study his life, you'll find out he was about to get married, finally, because his mother was pressing him so much. And she had found a wealthy heiress for him to marry. He had to wait, because when the marriage was decided on, the girl was only 12, and it wasn't legal. So he was about to get married to this little girl so that he could get all this money. God saved him, turned his life around, and Augustine became, do you realize that next to the apostles, there are very few people who have impacted the Christian church as much as Augustine? Did you hear what I'm saying? This man, sometimes you think he only impacted the Catholic church. He impacted the Protestant church, the Catholic church, and there are hardly any others who have made such an impact on the church as St. Augustine has, the power of God. And so this morning, if you're here, I just want you to know that God can change your life. Amen? God. You see, here's what we miss. God has a special plan for you, you know. And when you decide that your plan is pleasure, you're really missing out on the real plan. Sometimes people feel like they're doing God a favor if they decide to walk right. You ain't doing God no favor. Today is your day. Today is your day. You haven't trusted Jesus Christ. Today is your day. Today is your day to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And if you're a Christian, it's your day to change. Final sticking point 3. I don't know what to believe. Sticking point 1 was what? I can't believe. Sticking point 2, I won't believe. Sticking point 3, I don't know what to believe. You know, there are two, I'm only going to give you 2 reasons for this sticking point. The first reason is the fault of the person. Number 1 reason, because of itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 tells us this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have what type of ears? Itching ears. Look at what itching ear does. Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Itching ears describes those who seek out messages and doctrines that make them feel good and contone their lifestyle. There are some people who don't know what to believe because they want a message that makes them feel good. Have you ever noticed the rise in feel-good preaching? Have you noticed it? Some people don't know what to believe. And the reason is, I want a feel-good message. The Palm Sunday crowd thought Jesus was about to roll out a feel-good agenda. Did you know that? When they were carrying on this mountain, Hosanna! Oh, they thought it was a feel-good agenda. They thought Jesus had come to put down the Roman rule. He had come as the king to subdue the Roman tyranny and to introduce a period of peace and prosperity for the Jews. The good times for the Jews were just getting ready to roll. They missed the message. All this warning that he would say that he was going to die, nobody bothered to pay those aspects of the message any mind, because after all, what we want is a king who will give us peace and prosperity. But listen, it does matter what you believe. Listen, the second reason people mess up because of sticky pews. So itchy ears and sticky pews. So I know some of you, by the scholars, you're saying, I know about the itching ears. Could you please tell me about the scripture that talks about sticky pews? You see, itchy ears prevents it's the hearer's fault with the itchy ears. The itchy ears, you don't want to hear the true gospel. You want to go to a church that preaches a nice rub down. Oh, this is the wrong church to come to. I tell you, because you're going to hear about hell. You're going to hear that you're a sinner. But oh, thank God, you're also going to hear about the love of Jesus. You're going to hear about, listen, you're also going to hear that no matter what you have done, the grace of God is willing to save you. But you're also going to hear that God is demanding that once you get saved, you walk the right line. Amen. Oh, you're not going to get a message. Come as you are and stay as you was. Yes, the message is come as you are, but it ain't stay as you was. I'm sorry if I don't massage you nice. I wasn't trained to massage. It's my father's fault. He preached a hard message. And he raised us up believing, thus saith the Lord. And we're going to preach whatever it says. Amen? Amen. Pray for us that God will keep us true. Because listen, we are in some challenging days. And preachers who want to preach, thus saith the Lord, are more and more in danger. So pray with us that God will keep us faithful. That no matter what the cost. And you might not know, yes. As a human, I think about the consequence. But I'm persuaded that God's way is the best way. My friend, I challenge you. You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. I challenge you. Come to Jesus. Let him save you and let him change you. He's able to do that. Some of you know I talk about my dad a lot, and my dad's story has always impacted me. How God picked up this man, heading absolutely nowhere, no education, as poor as a pauper, spent some of his time sleeping on the street, and God saved him. And I'm here to tell you, listen, if you would give your heart to Jesus Christ and be solid, say, Lord, I am willing to go your way. Only heaven knows where God will take you, because I'm here to tell you, God has a plan for you. But you will never discover that plan on as long as you want to be a half-stepping Christian. There are too many half-steppers. God, I want salvation. I want to go to heaven. But God, I want to live the way I want to live. You will never discover God's plan. And so this morning I'm going to challenge you. But before I do, let me hurriedly. What do you need to believe? What should I believe? Number one. We are all sinners. We deserve God's judgment. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. It's not just talking. Listen. You see, if all it meant is that you die and we lock you up in the casket, that's bad enough. But it's talking about eternal death. It's talking about not just death here. It's talking about being thrown in the lake of fire where you will burn forever and ever. Oh, I know that's not a good massage preaching. But that's what the Bible says. And Jesus loved you so much that he came to die so you do not have to go to hell. You must believe you're a sinner and that you deserve to go to hell. But second, eternal life is available by believing that Jesus died for our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, madame, young person, whoever, you hear the word, whoever believes, yes, you. You say, me, you don't know my background, sir, you don't know my past, it doesn't matter. God says, whoever believes, you, if you believe this morning, you will have everlasting life. But third, we become a child of God by turning from sin and receiving Christ. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right. I'm giving my brother a book, but he has to receive it. Do you see that? God could have every intention of giving you eternal life, but you got to receive it. I want it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. Have you received it? Don't forget the formula. Believing plus receiving equals becoming. Believe, as many as received him, to them he gives the right to what? To become. You get the right to become. You get the right to what? To become. You become a child of God only when you receive. I trust this morning you will do that.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.